Miss an interview? Listen to it now at 1043thefan.com. Brought to you by First Bank. You work hard for your business, so should your bank. Talk to a First Bank business specialist today. First Bank. Business banking for good. Member FDIC. Now back to Nick and Cecil on Sports Radio 1043 The Fan.
Well, earlier today, we talked to the godfather of film study again. And I truly emphasize this. If you don't know Greg Cosell, you don't know football. That's the bottom line. And Nick Ferguson coming through with what we call in the industry a great get. As earlier today, we got a chance to catch up with NFL Films' Greg Cosell. And get ready for a lot of Drew Locke questions. Here's our conversation from earlier today with Greg Cosell. Nick and Cecil heading to the VIP line. It's Greg Cosell, NFL Films, NFL matchup. You know him. Film study, film junkie galore. This is the guy you want to talk to when you break down the game. Greg, good evening. Welcome to the show, man. How's it going?
It's going, I guess, about as well as expected. I don't have any complaints. I know a lot of people do these days. I can't say I'm one of them, so just hoping things work out for the best.
Hoping that as well, my friend, and hoping that Drew Locke can work out for the Denver Broncos. Now, let's go back to what you saw in college at Mizzou. Certainly, senior season wasn't as good as junior season. What you saw last year in those five games, 4-1 as a starter. Is John Elway on to something here, finally, at the quarterback position?
Well, I like Drew Locke. I think he had some things to work on. I remember watching him coming out of college. You know, it's funny you talk about senior season not as good as junior season. One of the things I try to do when I watch quarterbacks, and I learned this years and years ago, so I'm not taking credit for it, but I try to isolate a quarterback's traits, attributes, characteristics separate from the rest of the team. Because very often numbers and statistics can be a function of the people around them and the given schedule in a particular season. So I don't necessarily look at that. I try to isolate the traits. And I think he's got good traits. He certainly can make any throw. I remember very clearly watching him and thinking that one thing in particular stood out, which he struggled with in college and struggled with again last year and needs to be worked on. He has a tendency to drift in the pocket. And when you drift in the pocket, you create your own pressure because you tend to move into pressure. Because as you guys know, the offensive line blocks a certain way based on the given play call. And if you drift, you know, if it's a drop back pass and you move off what they call the midline and drift to your left, which he tended to do, you move into pressure. And then it makes your offensive line look bad. So I think that needs to be cleaned up. But I thought the previous coaching staff actually did the previous offensive coaching staff did a pretty good job in terms of designing concepts. So the reads were relatively well defined, and then therefore the throws were well defined. And there's no question he can throw it.
Greg, without there being any type of OTAs or minicamp, as has been discussed around the league, what do you foresee being the biggest hurdle facing Drew Locke and his young offensive core?
Comfort with new receivers, because my sense is, based on their draft, that they expect Courtland Sutton to be the big X. He knows Courtland Sutton, very good player. And I think then Jerry Jeudy, who I thought was clearly the best receiver prospect in this draft. So with Jerry Jeudy and K.J. Hamler as the other two receivers when they go with three wide, and I think both will play in the slot and both will play outside depending on the play call formation, those things, just working with those guys on the field. You know, I think that's really critical for a receiver, particularly someone like Jeudy is such a precise and outstanding route runner that you just have to get a feel for him because he does such a good job of attacking corners, of working against their leverage. He's so good at that. And I think he's going to have to get used to the quickness of K.J. Hamler because he's so quick in and out of breaks. So not being on the field with these guys, you know, you can go over play concepts all day long, but the game is played on the field at a fast speed, and I think that'll just take some time once they get that opportunity.
He's Greg Cosell on the VIP line, executive producer, NFL matchup, and of course, NFL Films. Greg, you mentioned K.J. Hamler there, led the FBS in drops. I think the number was 12 off the top of my head. Is that a function of him trying to do too much before he secures the catch? Is that an issue with his hands? Is that something you believe he can clean up with the ball?
I know there's many coaches who I've talked to over the years who believe you can clean that up, that you can teach a guy how to catch a football. I'm certainly not smart enough to know whether that's true or not, but I will say this. I thought he did not show natural hands when I watched his tape. I thought too many balls got into his body. He dropped too many. Whatever the number is, that's not... That doesn't matter to me. The fact is the tape shows that he was not an easy, natural catcher of the football. And that will have to be cleaned up because particularly working in the slot, and he's a small guy, there are going to be a lot of bodies around him, more than there are in college, because college is so spread out because of the hash marks. In the NFL, the hash marks are closer. And for guys who play in the slot, as he will quite a bit, there's more bodies around you, and they're bigger bodies, too. So I'm very curious to see how that gets cleaned up. But there's no question that he's got tremendous lateral explosiveness. I think from the slot, he can run by people. You can run slot fades. You can run vertical seams. So he's got a lot of juice. He's really good run after the catch as well.
Greg, we've seen the game change over the past couple of years. We call them tight ends, but I look at them as big wide receivers. And looking at the guys that are in our division, the AFC West, there's Travis Kelce, there's Darren Waller. And the Broncos didn't really go out and really get linebackers that can run for those guys. So if you're Coach Fangio, how do you match up and look to stop some of the more elusive tight ends in the league?
Yeah, well, Vic's always been really good with his schemes and his concepts. He's very subtle. He's multiple in kind of a detailed, nuanced way. Linebackers are important in a Vic Fangio defense. Safeties are very, very important in a Vic Fangio defense because he shows you a lot of split safety looks, and it doesn't always play out that way. He shows a lot to opposing quarterbacks, but obviously at some point you need to play, you know, with a talent level. So we'll see how all this plays out. Obviously they felt that they needed to be more explosive offensively, and that's the approach they took in the NFL draft. You know, they know they need to score. You know, they know in that division, as good as Vic is, and I think Vic's one of the best defensive minds in the game, but you're not going to win games in that division 17-14. So, I think that the focus, they had a plan. They clearly had a plan because not only do they have the three wideouts, they've got Noah Fant. They drafted Albert O, whose tape is not as good as the athleticism and the movement, but he's another big tight end who can run. So they're looking to be explosive with a quarterback that can make all the throws. And you know, hopefully that'll be their MO to some degree.
Such a wealth of knowledge, Greg, as a film nerd. I love talking football. Love hearing you talk football. It doesn't matter. Let's just keep talking. And let's talk about Melvin Gordon, Phillip Lindsay. How's this split going to work? Do you need two backs? I mean, the Broncos essentially replaced a two-time 1,000-yard rusher. How does this work out this year?
Well, I think Gordon's going to be the number one back. You know, they paid him a lot of money. He's a really good receiver as well, and I think that was critical in the signing. I don't think it'll be a run-first offense. And then having said that, it's not that there won't be games, depending on the flow of the game, where Gordon gets 20 carries. He will in some games. But I don't think they're going to start the offense with Melvin Gordon and just say, let's hand him the ball. You know, it's a real interesting mix because Gordon was an explosive back in college at Wisconsin, but in the NFL, he's kind of morphed into a grinder, a sustaining grinder. But he is a very, very good receiver, and that's another factor, and I think why they signed him, because they want to be as complete and as multidimensional as they can be in the pass game. So I think that Lindsay will essentially be the second back. I think Gordon will be the number one back.
Can Drew Lock's athleticism, mobility, take the pressure off of any deficiencies that the Broncos offensive line may endure this season?
Yeah, but I also think the line will be better. You know, Munchak's there, you know, for another year. They have Glasgow now. And I think they got someone else. I'm trying to remember who it was off the top of my head. But
they drafted Cushenberry.
Right. That's correct. They drafted Cushenberry. So who I watched his tape, you know, really, he's just one of those guys that you know you could line up and he's going to be good. He may not be a Hall of Famer, but you can line him up and he'll play. And so their O-line, you know, will be better. And with Risner having a second year, and he was a really good player last year. So they're pretty strong on the inside. You know, tackle's the main issue, obviously, that needs to be worked out. But, you know, I think the O-line will be better. Locke does have mobility, can throw on the run. So, you know, we are in a league now where, particularly when you get to third down, defenses do have the tactical advantage. And there are plays in which your quarterback does have to move. And those second reaction improvisational plays have become important. You know, we saw that throughout the playoffs. So Locke can do that. He can make throws on the move. And I'm not comparing him to Patrick Mahomes at all, so I don't want people to take it the wrong way. But one thing about Drew Locke is when he does move, he's another one of those quarterbacks that isn't necessarily looking for a check down. He'll move and drive the ball down the field.
He is Greg Cosell, NFL matchup, and of course, NFL films, the godfather of watching film. And Greg, my final question for you again, appreciate your time as always. I remember talking to Scott McLuhan before Baker Mayfield's draft. And, you know, just Scott told me, like, physical talent is easy to see. It's about looking beyond that for quarterbacks specifically.
Yep.
Is there any sort of key? Is there any sort of, you know, other than watching the film and looking at the numbers like you were saying, right? It's not about that. With quarterbacks, what is the secret to scouting this position?
Well, I think one thing you always look for is, and the term I use, I know a lot of people like to use the word processing of information. I like to say eliminate and isolate. I think that the great quarterbacks in this league are able to eliminate what's not there as early as possible. The great ones do it before the snap of the ball. Locke won't quite be there. He certainly won't be there on third downs. He may be there on first down when you have the advantage with your formations and a play call. But I think the ability to eliminate what's not there and isolate what is there is critical. Then I think the other piece is, and I use the term ball placement as opposed to accuracy, mm-hmm. because ball placement to me is what makes run after catch. I think the quarterback is more the factor in run after catch than the receiver, because they have KJ Hamler, who's really shifty. You want to hit him in stride. Judy is very shifty. You want to hit him in stride. So I think that those two things to me are really, really critical pieces. And we're not 100% sure yet with Drew Locke. You know, we saw pieces of that, but you know, those are things as a second year quarterback we need to see more of.
Well, today is Thursday, so I want to take it back just a little. And we have listeners who are not like NFL aficionados like yourself and like Sisu. So tell those guys, what did Steve Sable and Ed Sable mean to the growth of NFL football?
Well, I got hired. I started at NFL Films in July of 1979, and I was hired by Ed Sable. He was starting to remove himself from the day-to-day, and Steve Sable became basically my mentor, my friend. He was really responsible for my career because he recognized something in me, and in the mid-1980s, he came to me, and he just had this idea niggling in his brain about a matchup show. And the great thing about Steve was when he had an idea and thought you could execute it, he just kind of dropped the idea on you, and then he pretty much said, you do whatever you want. And that really became the focus of my career, and that led to, you know, what I've become, I guess, in my career. And that started in 1984. The NFL matchup show has been on TV in one form or another since 1984. And I remember when we got the coaching tape, it was 1991 or 1992, thinking that this is awesome, because I grew up in Queens in New York, and my high school didn't have football. I played basketball and baseball. So when I first got the coaching tape, for me, it was an intellectual and academic experience. And that's kind of the way I view it. But if you're just talking generally about Steve Sable and Ed Sable, I don't think the NFL would be what it is today at all without them. And we were so happy at Films when Steve Sable got in the Hall of Fame. Ed got in about 6 or 7 years ago. But when Steve got in, we all thought that was incredibly well-deserved.
Man alive, what a wealth of knowledge. Greg Cosell, NFL Films. Greg, certainly a privilege to talk to you anytime. And we certainly appreciate you for joining the show.
Hey, guys, I really appreciate it. Thanks for having me.
Thanks, Greg.
All right, guys, thanks.
Yeah, there we have him. Greg Cosell, NFL Films, NFL Matchup, the godfather of film study, who said one, many important things, but the one most important thing, We'll break that down next.
You work hard for your business. So should we. That's why First Bank offers commercial real estate loans, business lines of credit, and online cash management solutions. With tools and services designed to make your business run easier, your day could have less this and more this. Visit eFirstBank.com/business to learn more. First Bank, business banking for good. Member FDIC.
First Bank. Banking for good.